Good morning, Next Level Church. It's great to see you this morning. My name is Joseph. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Joseph McMurray. I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level. And as Jody said, we would love to have the opportunity to get to meet you if we have not already. After the service, I'm going to make myself available right down here at the front of the auditorium. And we would also love for you to stop by our guest services table in the lobby so that we can connect with you and help you understand what it looks like to connect here at Next Level. This morning, we are in week two of a series that we're calling Four Ways to Blow Up Your Marriage, but please don't be confused. We don't want you to blow up your marriage, okay? There's been some confusion. We want you to have a healthy, happy, wonderful marriage, and whether we're talking about marriage, dating, other relationships, this morning, what I have to share with you will apply to every relationship in your life, not just marriages, not just dating, but every relationship that you engage in your entire life. So I hope that you will that you'll stick around and hang with me when we jump into God's Word this morning. Before we go there, I want to remind you of something that Pastor Clay brought up last Sunday, and that is our upcoming Generosity Challenge. Beginning in the month of March, we want to put a challenge before the entire church to live a generous life. And in this generosity challenge, essentially what we're challenging you to is wherever you find yourself on the generosity path, which Pastor Clay has been teaching on over these past few months, and you may see it up here on the screen, wherever you find yourself on the generosity path, for 90 days, we want to ask you to take the next step on that path. So if you're someone who has never given before, we want you to take the step of becoming an initial giver. That means whatever gift you are comfortable giving and feel as though you could work into your budget, become an initial giver. If you're already giving, but you're not giving consistently, we want you to take the next step toward giving consistently, making it a part of your monthly budget. If you're already there, maybe giving 5 to 10%, we want you to become an intentional giver. And all of this information is available on our website. I'm not going to go through it all for you this morning. But here's the deal. In this 90-day giving challenge, we're going to say, if you will jump on board with us and be a part of this 90-day giving challenge, you can sign up on our website online. If you'll give at that next level for 90 days, and at the end of 90 days, you don't feel as though you have experienced the blessing of God, we'll give you back every penny. Who does that? Nobody does that. We want you to take this seriously and be a part of it. And we believe that God is going to bless your life. And we believe it so wholeheartedly that we'll give you back every penny that you give during the 90-day giving challenge if you don't feel like you have been blessed by God. We have multiple people in our church who are examples of living a generous life. And this morning, I want you to take a look at this quick video from one of our Next Level partners who lives generously. Check this out.
My name is Lenny Ferraro. I've started coming to Next Level around 2005, 2006 when they were meeting over at Park South Baptist.
When we say the word generosity, what does generosity mean to Lenny?
To me, it's giving of your time and talent. Whatever God has given you, you give it away. When money's good, money's coming in, I tithe more. I do it because I understand I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. If Jesus could wash somebody's feet, I can go build a ramp. God blessed me with the talents of being a mason, a handyman, construction worker, whatever you want, do whatever. And I can offer my time. I can't always offer money, but if I don't have the money, I can donate my time. Back when I was at Calvary, Glenn Wagner got up and said, test God in this. It was a giving campaign. Test him in your donations. So I'm sitting there and I went, okay. I gave as much as I could that day, not knowing how I was going to pay my bills and this and that. And almost gave all I had. You know, I wasn't the widower where it was everything I had, but I gave $200 or something, $160, $200, I forget what it was. Started job the following Monday. By Friday, made $1,600 cash in my pocket. Had no idea when I started Monday we were gonna make that much money. Me and a buddy of mine doing a job. And I went, okay, thank you God, all right. You know, and I mean, that was my defining, where with giving, that I knew tithing, and then over the years, he blessed me that way monetarily. But over the years, it's been both.
What would you just say to that person who's considering stepping into this?
I would say, test God in it. Trust him to take care of you. You may not see it like I did monetarily right away, but even if it's an extra $10, when you tithe and you trust God with your money, at the end of the month, you're going to have money left over, even though you paid out the extra cash for tithing. I've seen it. Just try it out. You've tried other things, just give it a shot. One of our old sayings from years ago. Just give us a shot. Come here on a Sunday and listen to the sermon, listen to what's going on. And then if you like it, get connected in a life group is your next step. Try to connect to community of fellow believers, because we're not perfect here. None of us are. So don't feel intimidated, and we're not going to judge you for where you're at in your walk and what you're coming from.
The word says to us in Malachi, test me and see if I will not open the floodgates. That's what our 90-day challenge is. It's a test. So test God, see if he will not open the floodgates of blessing in your life. Listen, you will never, ever hear us preach a prosperity gospel that says, if you give X amount of dollars, God's going to give you back X amount of dollars. That's not what we're saying in any way. What we're saying is that if you will be generous with what he has given you, he will bless you in ways that you can't imagine. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have together this morning. I pray, Father, that you would stir in our hearts, that we would be moved to a place of living generously through our time, our talents, and our treasures, and that we would experience this 90-day giving challenge together and see your blessing poured out in incredible ways here at Next Level. God, bless us as we open your word this morning, as we talk about relationships and the desire of your heart for us when it comes to the relationships that we're engaging in. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, when Clay began this series of four ways to blow up your marriage, he talked about his love story with Jody and how they met. And it was like, you know, rainbows and white horses riding on a beach, and it was all pretty bleh. I am madly in love with Lisa Reesh McMurray, but our love story does not begin that way. Lisa and I met in 2001 through the church that we were both attending at the time, and when we met, neither of us had any interest in each other whatsoever. I won't say that. I saw her from way across the room, and I was like, okay, I'm interested. But I was 23, 24 years old, and I had no interest in a relationship at that time. I had interest in going out with a lot of people, but I had no interest in a relationship. Lisa was already seeing someone, and so for us, it was like, yeah, there's another person there, but no big deal. But this is what happens when you get involved in a community of people. They begin to meddle in your lives, and they start to say things to you like, hey, when are you going to go out with Lisa Reesh? And they begin to say things like her, like, when are you going to ditch that bum and go hang out with Joseph? I added the ditch the bum part, but... Months went by, and it was like, okay, I see this person at church every week, and I think she's gorgeous, but I'm not ready for a committed relationship. And then we went on the young adult beach retreat, and we got to know each other a little bit better. But still, it was like, okay, I am all about me right now, my business, my work, me. I don't have space or time for anyone else in my life. And I was very clear to my friends who continued to pester me about, when are you going to ask out Lisa Reesh? And she hates it when I tell this story, but I love the way that it has concluded and is going. Very specifically, I was on the 14th hole at Firethorn Country Club with my roommate at the time, who said to me, Joseph, when are you going to ask out Lisa Riche? And for those of you who are my age and remember Chris Rock's HBO special from 1998, I quoted Chris Rock when he said, "People say never, I'm saying never." That was September. We went on our first date in October. I fell madly in love in November. December, I took her home to meet my parents. We were engaged the following October, and in 2 months, our marriage will be old enough to get its own driver's license because it will be 16 years old on April the 12th. After 15 years of marriage, almost 16, I have learned the value of putting my wife's needs above my own and giving her an opportunity to press pause and reset. And so, as Jody reminded you, this week is Valentine's Day. You know what I got my wife for Valentine's Day? I have booked a room at a hotel that I know my wife loves. And guys, I'm going to blow your mind. This room is for her to go enjoy alone. Without me. For Valentine's Day. Because after 15 years of marriage, I have figured out what it means to put my wife's needs before my own and to allow her time and space to press pause and reset. And listen, Lisa and I would never claim to have the perfect marriage, but until she tells me otherwise, I think we're doing okay. We all want to have healthy relationships. This is true if we're talking specifically about marriage, but it's also true if you're talking about dating. It's true if you're talking about business relationships. It applies to every relationship in our lives, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our clients, our kids' teachers, our kids' coaches, and on and on and on. And when it comes to these relationships and engaging in relationships, it's important for us to ask a very simple question. And it is a simple question. You ready? Why am I in this relationship? I told you it was simple. When it comes to our marriages, why are we in this relationship? Is it because it was the natural next step? Is it because it was the socially acceptable thing to do? Was it to avoid being alone or to get a nagging parent off our back? When are you going to get married? If you're in a dating relationship, why am I in this relationship? Is it because it will make you feel good about yourself? Will it help your self-esteem, your self-worth? Listen, in every scenario, whether it's with friends or family or clients or your kids' teachers, we need to ask ourselves this question: why am I in this relationship? What is the end goal of the relationship that I am in? Are we in these relationships simply because our paths have crossed and that's the way life goes? Now, whether or not we come up with an answer as to why I am in this relationship, it's worth spending time thinking about this question. That's why it's so important when it comes to relationships, to remember that why you engage will determine how you engage. In every relationship in your life, why you engage in that relationship will determine how you engage in that relationship. Think about it. If you care nothing about the relationship, then it's going to impact the way you engage in that relationship. But if that relationship is the most important thing to you, it should certainly make a difference in how you engage. We all know people who are in every relationship in it 100% for themselves, don't we? Completely self-centered, such that everything in their life is about them, their needs, their desires, their calendar, their interests. And anything that interferes with whatever it is they want results in huge drama and conflict Come to think of it, I have just described my 2-year-old daughter. When you engage in a relationship in such a way that you are only interested in how that relationship can meet your own needs, you are exactly as mature and capable of a healthy relationship as my 2-year-old daughter. When your why is self-centered, then your how will be self-centered. And if your goal is to blow up your marriage, then by all means, continue to engage on the same level of maturity and self-centeredness as my 2-year-old daughter. However, if you don't want to blow up your marriage, if you want to see your marriage thrive, if you want to see the relationships that you are investing in grow, we need to look through a different lens. Because why you engage will determine how you engage. Just like anything in life, if we don't know where we're going, then we're not going to do a very good job of getting there. But if we have a clear destination, if our clear destination is healthy relationships, then it's easier to make decisions that will get us there in the best way possible. Think about driving to the hospital. Your why determines your how. If the reason you are going to the hospital is because your wife's water just broke, or your child's arm just broke. Something's broke. If you're going to the hospital because something is broken, you're going to get there the fastest way possible. And the likelihood is you are not going to obey all of the rules of the road. No offense to any of our friends in the room in law enforcement. But if your why for going to the hospital is simply to make a visit to someone who is there, you're probably not going to be as determined to get there as quickly, especially if you're me, because you have heard me talk about my love for hospital visitation. Your why determines your how. The point is, when it comes to everything in life, but especially relationships, and on a whole nother level, marriage, your why determines your how. It's important for us to recognize this, because no one sets out in a relationship to walk away with hurt and baggage and regrets. No one wants to make mistakes or have scars as a result of their relationships. But unfortunately, a lot of people engage in relationships that leads toward those things. Why? Because we haven't made decisions on the front end to keep those things from happening. If you are engaged in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, a dating relationship, a friendship, fill in the blank, you want a healthy relationship. And listen, God wants that for you. God wants a great life for you. That's why Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. He wants a great life for you, including your relationships. And he designed you, created you for healthy relationships. Healthy relationships are a good thing, and you can have them. And believe it or not, God has given you the best marriage, dating, relationship advice you could ever hear to help you get there. If you want to have great relationships, you simply need to follow this one critical relationship guideline that's found in the Bible. This one decision, if you follow it, will set you up for more success in marriage than anything else. If you don't remember anything else I say today, I want you to remember that your why determines your how. This morning, I want us to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture that I believe God has given us as the best marriage advice you will ever hear. And it applies to every other relationship as well. Crazy enough, this is advice that you have probably heard before, but maybe, just maybe, you haven't applied it to your interpersonal relationships and maybe not your marriage. Here it is, very simply. Mark 12:31, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. If I had a microphone, I'd just drop it and walk off the stage. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, just to be clear, when Jesus was asked this question, he wasn't talking about marriage. Jesus was asked by teachers of the law, which of these more than 600 Jewish rules is the greatest? And to answer the question, Jesus went back to his childhood and quoted Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He basically said to the question, oh, that's easy. Love God and love people. So while he wasn't talking about marriage specifically, what he said can be applied to marriage, especially because he considers this to be the most important law. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Think about it. In the context of what Jesus is saying, your neighbor is anyone and everyone. When we see the same situation in the book of Luke, we get the story of the Good Samaritan who showed love and compassion and care and concern for someone that everyone else had turned their back on, because everyone is your neighbor. According to Jesus, loving your neighbor as yourself is not only the best thing you can do with your life, but it's the best relationship advice. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you live selflessly, you put others first and think about what's best for them. And that's what God wants for you. Those are the actions that God cheers for. And loving your neighbor as yourself sets up all relationships for more success. Joseph, that sounds way too simple. Yeah. But it sounds really, really difficult. Yeah. It is. Jesus is calling us to be something different. And I don't know where you are along this spectrum or this path of the relationship that you're in, whether we're talking about a marriage relationship or a friendship or a dating relationship or whatever it is. I don't know where you are along the spectrum, and I don't know how hurt you have already been. But what I do know is that you can't control the actions of anyone else. The only actions you can control are those of yourself. So for me and for us, the challenge from this simple passage of Scripture is to love God with everything that we have and love our neighbor as ourselves and to see the people in our lives as our neighbor who need to be loved by us with the love we have received from God the Father himself. Jesus is calling us to be something different in our relationships. He's calling us out of me-centered. He's calling us out of who I was as a 23-year-old kid who wasn't looking for a relationship. He's calling us out of only focusing on ourselves and our own needs and what we can get out of whatever relationship it is that you're in. He's calling us to first and foremost think about the other person, not what's in it for me, but what can I do to love, care for, and treat the other person with respect? Or simply to ask this question, what can I do to care about you? When you start with this question, you'll find yourself moving toward healthy or healthier relationships. Healthy work relationships, healthy dating relationships, healthy marriages. Tuesday of this past week was a particularly difficult day for my wife. She sat in line at the Social Security Administration for 3 hours waiting to speak to someone about getting a Social Security number for our 2.5-year-old daughter who was adopted. You've been there. You've sat in line at the DMV or the Social Security Administration or wherever it is that you have to sit in line and wait for somebody on the other side of the desk to tell you whether or not you have the right document in your hand. 3 hours she sat, confident that she had everything she needed, because when you read the list of documents needed, boom, 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 here it is. It's in my hand. I have it right here. After 3 hours, she got to the desk and learned from the person on the other side of the desk that you are one document short. But the list of required documents says you need a birth certificate and an adoption decree, and we'll give you a social security number. She had in her hand a birth certificate and an adoption decree. Oh, but the person on the other side of the desk had a different interpretation of the guidelines, and therefore, you also need to get some other document that we cannot have because my daughter was never on Medicaid. Please explain to me how I'm supposed to obtain a document that doesn't exist. Welcome to the Social Security Administration. My wife left the building, livid at the situation because helpless. What is she going to do? She's going to go somewhere else. She can't go somewhere else because her right front tire is completely flat. Now, listen, I realize that there are other people who have a lot worse things going on in their life than having to sit in bureaucracy and have flat tires. I get it. But for that day, for my wife, that was a tough experience. She's running up against having to pick up our daughter from preschool, and now she has a flat tire. What's she going to do? So the question that I have to ask as the husband in this situation is, what can I do to care about you? I can do the practical things. I picked up our daughter from preschool. Check. I drove to the Social Security Administration and traded vehicles with her so she could take the daughter home and put her to bed. Check. I changed the flat tire in the parking lot of the Social Security Administration. Check. Those are practical. But I knew that after having a day like Tuesday, that the last thing she was going to want to do is prepare a meal. No, I didn't cook. No. I ordered takeout, and I went and picked up the takeout. And while I was out picking up the takeout, I also stopped and grabbed a bunch of fresh-cut flowers and put them in the vase that sits in our kitchen. Because the question is, what can I do to care about you? What can I do to show you at the end of this day, which is just kind of a miserable day, that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are respected, that you are appreciated? What can I do to care about you? This is why we engage in relationships. We need to know our why, because our why determines our how. We engage in relationships to get better at loving others the way God loves them. See, if I try to engage in my marriage, if I try to engage in my relationships with others simply on my own strength and the love that I have in me, I'm going to fall short every time. Every time. But it's because of the love of the Father that is in me that I can show His love through those relationships. To ask the question, what can I do to care about you? Look, on my own, I'm incapable of demonstrating a level of love that could even compare to the love of God. This is why we engage in our marriages and in relationships, is to show the love of God to those with whom we are engaged. If you want to have the best relationships, learn to do this. Understand your why, and it will determine your how. Grow in your desire to do this. Adopt a strategy of making your marriage about loving the other person as you love yourself. Doing this will help you make good decisions that are not just putting your needs first, but put the needs of your spouse, put the needs of the other person in your relationship first. When you do this, you'll begin to treat people differently across the board. You'll begin to pay attention to the words that you say to them, not just the words you say, but how you say them. You begin to pay attention to the actions that you use, the way you treat the people in your lives. when you understand your why, you'll want to show love in the way that they best understand. Some folks in some of our life groups have recently been through the five love languages and even attended a conference about the five love languages. And I'm not gonna go into a whole diatribe about the five love languages, but if you're not familiar, Google Gary Chapman, Amazon Gary Chapman, the five love languages. This is a concept that has been instrumental in my life, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my interacting with people around me. Because I know how the people in my family best receive love. And to understand the five love languages is not just so that, hey, I can tell you that I need words of affirmation so you can say nice things to me and make me feel loved. No, that's self-centered. Understanding the five love languages is to engage in my relationships with others. Like my son Walker, I know that his love language is gifts. And if I need him to know that he is loved, I just need to give him something. With Fletcher, it's quality time. We just got to go do something. With Cooper, it's physical touch. The kid just needs a hug. With Lisa, it's acts of service and gifts. And gifts. But acts of service, I know that if I need her to know that she is loved and cared for, then I need to do something. I need to clean something. I need to change something stinky. All of those things show that I love her. When you engage and you understand how the people in your life best receive love, then you'll be able to show it in a way that makes sense and can be understood. Look, today I simply want to challenge you to make an effort to begin thinking about what is in the best interest of the other person. Yes, marriage, but yes, every other relationship in your life. And start with this question: what can I do to care about you? Married or not, practice on everyone. What can I do to care about you? Try it with friends, family, coworkers, clients. When you begin with this question and ask, what can I do to care about you? You'll get better at it. And in the process, you will become more like Jesus. When you understand the why, when you understand that the why of your relationships is to show the love of God in everything that you do and say and every way that you demonstrate your love, when you know your why, it will determine your how. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had together this morning, and I thank you for the simple yet difficult teaching to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. God, I pray that we wouldn't let this just be information that goes in one ear and out the other. But God, I sincerely pray that for each of us in this space, that we would begin, to see our spouse as our neighbor and love our neighbor as ourselves. That we would begin to see the people in our relationships as our neighbors. That we would love you with everything that we have, heart, mind, soul, strength. And we would love our neighbors as ourselves. And God, when we do this, I pray that you would show us your amazing blessing, your amazing glory, your incredible love. Help us to believe that wherever we are in that relationship, no matter how new, no matter how old, no matter how seemingly perfect, no matter how broken, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all that we could ask or imagine. And Father, may it begin in us with a desire to live in a way that is not self-centered, but puts others first. In Jesus' name.